Hello. This is
Ray's
Music Reviews, yes. Kind of.
RMR, baby.
That's already...
Baby.
Don't... Remmer.
Remmer, no, that's nothing.
Rumor.
Rumor. Rumors is the album we're talking about.
Segway.
That's the segue, baby. We're talking about Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Jared's favorites.
Yeah, it is... God, I love this album. I finally decided to, a little background for my time with this album. I grew up listening to the radio a lot with my mom, just like driving to and from places. She listened to a lot of disco and she listened to a lot of like mid-70s stuff. So I grew up listening to this album, even if I didn't know it.
So, sidebar, Rod Stewart?
Rod Stewart.
Does your mom like Rod Stewart?
Almost assuredly.
Okay.
She's a big Journey fan.
Well, specifically Rod's career crossed over into disco land a little bit here and there.
So she probably likes him.
I would think that she probably did dig that. But go back to your history.
But yeah, and I'm like high school, I finally decided, because I was like, man, people really say this album is phenomenal. And I'd listened to obviously stuff like The Chain. And I finally sat down, listened to the whole thing, and I was like, oh, I've literally heard every song on this album on the radio. Every single one of them.
Right.
Every single one of them. And I was like, oh. And so this is what this album is. It is literally just classics.
A great deal of this record is heavy rotation classic rock.
Yes, heavy. Yeah. Good Lord. Just all of it.
Yeah.
Literally, again, it is an album that entirely consists of classics. It's crazy. But I think this album is just, I think for me, it is the definitive 10 out of 10. When I measure an album in terms of like quality, if I'm asking if it's like perfect, this is kind of the album that I think of. And I do think it stands on its own, but I do think it is enhanced with some backstory as to what was going on in the band at the time.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
there is a common theme amongst the songs about breaking up and moving on and trying to be happy with new things and or wanting to leave, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was that two of the members, Christine and John McVie, were getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
They were married, they were getting divorced. Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham had been dating for like 8 years and they were breaking up.
Since high school, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. They had toured musically together for a really long time. And now they were breaking up, and Mick Fleetwood, his wife like was cheating on him with his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he ends up in an affair with Stevie Nicks.
Right, as Lindsey is breaking up.
As Lindsey is breaking up with Stevie. It was messy.
Yes.
Messy. And that kind of, if you look through it through that lens and you pay attention to who's singing which songs.
Right. Also, narrative emerges. To piggyback on what you're saying, Stevie's in the band because Lindsey wouldn't join without her.
Yes.
They had the Buckingham Nicks, I guess, is the name of what they were trying to do. They had an album, I think. Mick loses Peter Green. They share the same recording studio. Here's what Lindsey's doing. Lindsey has a unique picking, like a banjo that he does on guitar.
You hear it.
Yeah.
In some of his songs.
Absolutely. And that's what that's his trick. That's what makes him different from other guitarists. And Mick likes it, asks him to join the band without having heard him sing on records, from what I understand. And yet Lindsey won't join without Stevie. So he brings her into this. You know what I mean? And then, like you said, fast forward a couple albums later, they're in the process of breaking up. You have a song that's written about Lindsey finding someone else. You have a song where Christy McVie is, I think she's singing that, what is it?
It's Songbird?
Never Going Back Again is Buckingham singing about the girl he's dating.
You Make Loving Fun is by Christine. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's writing this song about the lighting director
that she had started to date.
Again, everybody's in this family unit and everybody is switching who they're seeing.
Yes, and then you have to perform these songs about someone you loved moving on. Well, like, that's tough, dude.
And Lindsey's actually helping Stevie write songs about how awful he is, right? And then he's writing songs about how bad she is. And then, if you can imagine, go into a recording studio and sing into the same mic
Oh man, that's raw.
Can you imagine the guttural punches you have? Dude. And now throw into this. They're all on coke.
Oh yeah. Not yeah. I was gonna get you the coke. Like many albums recorded in the 70s.
Right.
They were on coke.
Right. The paranoia level going through this whole thing is crazy. Well, rumors. Perfect.
And I think that the authenticity of the lyrics, of the performances, is part of what makes this album amazing.
Right.
Because not only is it, it's not just like someone who's singing about a theoretical breakup, it is literally about them breaking apart, their relationships breaking apart, the band kind of fracturing in a lot of ways and just being weird.
And it's also not like so many times you hear a record where, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you.
Go for it. No,
but oftentimes you hear a record where a man has written a tale about a breakup. A woman has written a tale about a breakup. And it may be a common theme to the record, but it's one perspective.
Yes.
It's one style of the breakup. It's what you did to me. This covers every way two people can fall out of love. It covers the, I can't believe I found out you're cheating on me.
Yes.
It covers the, we grew apart.
Yes.
It covers the, I can't stand you at all.
Yeah.
It covers the, well, hey, maybe we wind up back together at some point. Every bit of that is covered in this. And it's because, or the fact that you make love and fun, that's new love.
That's new love. Absolutely.
You know, I'm never going back again is I found somebody else, you know, but that doesn't work out.
I think that that's the kind of the great part about specifically Never Going Back Again is that it is in a lot of ways. Like I heard an interview where he described it as naive.
Oh, so absolutely. That's
even enriched by looking back to it as a fragment of the past of he thought he had been able to move on and he was never going back again, back to heartbreak or whatever.
Dude, I don't think they ever moved on.
No.
Stevie, the last time they toured, Stevie wouldn't let him in at all. Right?
That's, like, there's still something.
In the time before that, Buckingham and McVie toured together, did an album together without, the only person who wasn't there, Stevie. Right? But the other thing about this is, think about this, when you say naivety, they've been dating since high school. Right? So he hasn't had a lot of experience with dating. He loses who he's been with, you know, through, I'm sure, fault of his own. It's same with her, you know, things happen. But then he thinks, okay, well, how quickly I've been able to do this and move on and things are, okay, that's not how it works. You don't love somebody for 7-8 years, and especially from the infancy of your understanding of what love is, high school to an adult, and then watch them. You may think you moved on, but the first time you see them with somebody else, that's going to be a gut punch. And if it's the drummer, who's also your boss? Woof.
Woof.
Right?
Woof indeed.
You know, especially, I mean,
and even beyond just like a relationship, their working relationship. They worked together. They made music together. They were still at the point of breakup making music together.
Correct. And they would continue. You know, it's just there's just so much to unravel.
There's so much. And I think it just enriches the perspectives because, man, the music, again, I totally think the music by itself, amazing.
Right.
The layered vocals, the harmonics, the interesting guitar sounds on stuff like Never Going Back Again. The story for it goes that, like, they had to restring his guitar, like, every 20 minutes for him to be able to just make that noise on it.
Right. I was like, man. The plucking. He would pop them. Yeah, right.
It sounds so good, though.
But, and also, the three singers, each singing their own song while the other one harmonizes with them. McVie is a standalone performer. Stevie Nicks is one of the great standalone performers.
She's amazing.
When she leaves, her song with Tom Petty is so good. Leather and Lace with Don Henley, so good. Her solo records, good. She is a presence that even like, what, a couple of years ago, she was on that horror show. She played a witch.
American Horror Story? Dude, her whole setting is like witchy. It's awesome.
Well, that's the other thing is inside of this record, you have despair, hope. There's evil in there. There's an evil undercurrent of
stuff like The Chain. Ugh. The Chain is...
Dude, Goldust Woman?
Goldust Woman!
Come on.
Come on.
That is just so high level. Oh, my God. And then, you know, her voice has that... And I get... Don't get me wrong. She's one of those people, too, that I get it. If what she does vocally is different from what you enjoy, dude, she's spot on for me.
Oh, dude. 100%.
You know?
100%.
And Lindsay is a... stand-alone performer, and you have all of that in a band that isn't named after
any of those people.
Well,
I mean, it's named after
maybe John. I would assume that it was John McVie that it was named after, who is very much not the person you think of when you think of them at all. You think of everybody but him.
But well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
even Peter Green you think of before you do John. You know what I mean? But anyway, so anything else you got?
No, I did want to give a special shout out to probably this time listening through it, Songbird might have hit me the hardest. Good Lord, man.
I'm glad you said that.
I just start tearing up.
I'm glad you said that.
It's so unbelievably just...
Last song of song one. Last song of side one.
Dude.
You get that trip and you go through, you know, you have Secondhand News, Dream... Okay, let's do this. Go to the questions.
Yes, I will say one last thing, that if I had been listening to this on vinyl and that song was the last one on side one, I would not, for like 20 minutes, be able to switch it to side two.
Right.
I'd just be sitting there just thinking about it.
Right.
What a crazy good song.
You got it.
Oh, my God.
You got it. Okay.
And it starts with The Chain, dude.
Right.
You switch from this just potent, like love mm-hmm. song, and
right.
then you switch over to just the kind of dark...
You swore thumping. You would never break the chain.
Yes. Oh, man. And again, this is, I think it's the only song on the record that has like a writing credit for all of them.
Right. It is the only one they wrote together. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like completely together. And it shows, because again, the perspectives, you can take it on each of the different issues happening in the band or the band as a whole.
Correct.
The band as a whole is kind of falling apart. And oh, man, The Chain, dude. I love the specifically the listen to the wind blow, watch the sunrise, changing to listen to the wind blow, down comes the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying later, damn the dark, damn the light.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, because for me, there's almost a kind of symbolism with the sun rising as the day progresses, as the kind of happy days of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And as the sun sets on the relationship, it turns into darkness, and that's the, you know, whole you cheated on me, you're, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say damn the dark, it's like, yeah, obviously you're gonna hate the bad stuff, right? But when you say damn the light, that's you're basically taking the entire relationship and just saying none of it mattered.
Right.
So dark.
Right. Right.
But the music plays into that so much. The just,
oh, absolutely.
Just the just thumping. To just
Mick.
Mick.
The percussion on this record.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
And every part of this record
right.
is awesome. Man.
Absolutely.
But especially on that song.
Right. All right. Now let's get into some questions. How did you feel about the opening song?
Oh, it was
Secondhand
great.
News.
I think it sets the tone for the album really well, where, man, I love Secondhand News. It's one of my favorites.
And that's the plucking.
Yes.
The Buckingham plucking.
Yes. Dude, it's style, man. The style of this album rules.
Right.
But it sets the tone of the album of someone moving on from a...
You know what the plucking on the song makes me realize?
What?
That Rolling Stone top guitarist list should have put Buckingham way higher than 99.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
He's at least early 80s, late 80s.
You're only going to move him up 10 spots? You said way higher. Whatever. I'm
way higher. Well, way higher for 100 greatest guitarists ever. That's pretty high.
That's a valid point. That is a completely valid point.
It also is, for the content, it's kind of happy.
It is. It's like...
The tone is happy. The content is not.
Yes. Because it's talking about how you don't want to be with me anymore. And mm-hmm. you're trying to find love. You're hoping that you'll find happiness. I'll still be there for you.
Right.
But I do like the wordplay with, won't you lay me down in the tall grass and let me do my stuff, as both, why don't you just come back to me and let me love you again? Or it's also kind of evocative of releasing an animal into the wild. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you put them down in grass and they leave.
Right.
Like, it's almost a cry to let go of me as much as it is, I'm still here for you.
It could be, let's have another fling. It could be, let me run from you.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And that's a pretty big gap.
I know.
Right? Which is great.
That's
open-ended.
Yes.
Because also both can be true.
The emotions, you know what I mean, in that moment are both.
I think I am done with you, but I don't have to be.
But,
you know, maybe. right.
But maybe I should.
Yeah, right. Okay, you liked the opening?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you did too?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about the I want to talk about the closer of the record, which is Goldust Woman.
Yeah, I consider Silver Springs to be a part of this album, but it was a later addition due to, I guess, limitations on how long you could make a vinyl record, mm-hmm. which I don't think this album's all that long. It doesn't feel all that long.
It plays through quickly.
Yeah, it really does. But Goldust Woman, which is dark.
Right.
It's dark. Well, it's about drugs.
Yeah.
It's about someone moving on from a relationship and entering into a new relationship that they hope will be happy. And then, you know, did she shatter your illusions of love?
Right.
Which is, oh, dude.
Yeah.
So good. I will say I like the line, take your silver spoon, dig your grave.
Right.
It's very evocative. It's about using your
she's
money.
She's quite the wordsmith.
Dude, yes. Yes. Yeah. Stevie Nicks. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, songwriting on this album's top notch.
But you spend your spare time casting spells over people,
yes,
it probably helps in your wordsmith.
Brewing potions.
Yes.
Casting spells.
Yes.
Dude, she what's crazy is she has had like a resurgence amongst people who do like the pagan aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
like the witch aesthetic. She has major resurgence. People love posting pictures of her and like flower crowns and just this ephemeral clothing. She is ephemeral in a lot of ways. Right. You watch her and you're just like, wowed.
Yeah, absolutely.
She doesn't seem of this world.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right.
Dude, Fleetwood Mac has had such a resurgence amongst like millennials and my generation.
In a lot of ways, they are a big, like alt, what is now alt music, when you do the Mumford & Son, you do all that, a lot of that alt radio feels like a natural line that can be drawn between that and what Fleetwood
Mac it's did. Like a weird Fleetwood Mac REM mixture that you would not you would not think that would work on paper, would you?
But I love it.
Oh, it works. Absolutely it works.
Dude, Pale Shadow of a Dragon. Oh my God, this song rules. This song rules, and it's appropriately dark, I think, for the end of it. It kind of also manages to encapsulate a lot of what's going on, but in a different light.
Right.
It's not, you're moving on, because Secondhand News goes from you're moving on, but I'm still here for you.
Right.
And this one's you're moving on, and it's terrible for you.
Well, and not only I got my own problems.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with my own things. You're going to have to find your way without me. You know.
It's okay.
Okay. Favorite and least favorite tracks.
I have two favorite songs, but they're probably the most popular songs here.
Mm-hmm.
Go Your Own Way in the Chain. I get that they're like the popular songs, but I just love those songs.
They are phenomenal, especially The Chain, and I guess especially also Go Your Own Way.
Go Your Own Way, if I had to pick, I'd probably say Go Your Own Way, because it is so soaring.
Dude, yes. You go on a journey on that song, and the guitar solo, dude. Yes. I think The Chain, I guess I might probably, again, I said that this time around my favorite might be Songbird, but overall I think it might be The Chain, just because of its usage of its music as a major part of the narrative is something I always love. Like how you were talking about on Appetite for Destruction with, when he talks about the storms coming, Guns N' Roses, oh shoot! No, you know which song I'm talking about. No, it's off Appetite for Destruction. It's the song where you were talking about how the
guitar leads into the storm.
Sweet
Child of Mine.
How Slash's guitar joins one version. Like it's two different songs, but they're joined together by Slash's solo.
Yes, the music is part of the narrative.
Correct.
Of the song, and I think that's just phenomenal.
On
both albums,
right.
The Chain, yeah. Least favorite,
probably Oh Daddy. Yeah.
Oh Daddy is interesting, though.
I'm not the biggest fan of that song.
It's interesting.
It's interesting because she's talking about Mick.
Yeah.
And part of it is about Mick's, it's part of it is dripping with sarcasm in that Mick kind of doesn't write as much, but he does rule them a little bit. And he decides, it's his band. He decides where we go, what we do. So there's that. Also, Mick's new love interest is involved in it too. You know what I mean? And she's kind of observing these things, and but not Stevie.
But not Stevie.
Which puts another thing in it. But I get what you're saying.
It's just kind of sad and uncomfortable.
Well,
and that's just kind of like most of this album is so soaring. And so you could go your own way. Mm-hmm. But
I get that vibe.
No Daddy's just kind of.
I totally get that vibe. No, I totally get that. Kev, did you say one of your
also favorite? Also does not help that it's right before Goldust Woman.
Yeah.
That's also not.
I feel that. I feel that.
Dude, I love Dreams. I love, dude, this is just a great record. It really is. But to me, the song Dreams and Goldust Woman are a little bit more.
Stevie Nicks talking about Crystal Visions. Dude, I also love the Like a Heartbeat Drives You Mad in the stillness of remembering what you had.
Mm-hmm.
Is just a beautiful line.
Right, right. Dude, it's really, really great. Now, what would you rate this out of 10, guys?
I already said it at the beginning, 10.
9, but that's only because of Oh Daddy. That's like, I just...
That's fair.
I just skip that song every time I listen to this album. I just skip that song.
If you skip a song on a record, it can't be a 10.
Yeah.
In your eyes. I mean, that's pretty common. That's fair.
If you switched Oh Daddy with Silver Springs...
It would be easy 10.
Yeah.
Dude, easy 10.
Silver Springs, I do want to give a shout out to it for just being really good.
But I feel like Silver Springs would have to close the album.
Yeah.
I feel that as well.
But like if you switched Oh Daddy with Silver Springs...
And then switched
Goldust Woman with Silver Springs, then that's one of the greatest.
I totally feel that.
I mean, it is one of the great.
But
I still love it. Like,
no, yeah, absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
Okay, I would give it a 10. I don't know that you can go higher than that. It's really good. It's really good. Now, you want to talk about new music, or what do you want to go to next? New music, Jared.
I guess these people haven't technically put out music very recently, but I did want to highlight smaller artists. So Orville Peck, he is a kind of almost old school-ish, like real old school country. He did a song with Shania Twain, Legends Never Die. I recommend checking that or his album Pony Out, which I really like. I also think that Left at London is a really cool smaller pop artist. She puts out some really fun, really heartfelt music. And Lena Raine came out with a new album. She has made the music for a couple video games, most notably the video game Celeste, which has maybe top 3 best video game soundtracks of all time, in my measure.
That's pretty good. It's Minecraft pretty is great. Up there.
Minecraft is all dude. Minecraft.
Dude, Undertale might be number one. Number one is probably Undertale.
Celeste is at least top 5.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We should do an entire podcast where we talk about video game soundtracks.
Oh, dude. Yes. Dude, I'm so ready for that. Dude, I listen
Ray's
so much.
Favorites, the Undertale soundtrack.
Dude, it's so good. It's a really like good. I could unironically talk about it for like an hour. It's amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, she came out with a new album of, I'm pretty sure, just like original music, or at least a couple remixes from her original music. So.
Okay. Ray, did you listen to anything this week?
I didn't listen to that much new stuff. I was basically just digging into classics that I had because, you know, I tried to keep in the vibe with Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
You know, just older stuff, mm-hmm. But not like too old, like
not Elvis, but not Justin Timberlake.
Like I'd say, like from Queen to
go for it. Brand New.
The band Brand New. I know that the guy did some terrible things, but being a good person and making good music.
Often at odds. Given how a lot of rock stars are
dude.
At odds.
a lot of the let's just put it this way.
Okay.
There's a song out there that's very popular called Christine, that was popular at one time called Christine 16. There was a song in the top 40 called She's Only 17 at one time. So when you think of rock stars, periodically they have, from Chuck Berry through the history of time, I mean,
dude, Robert Plant.
No, dude, not Robert Plant. Jimmy Page.
Robert Plant.
That's a big difference because they're two totally different people. But I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis married like his 13-year-old cousin or something. So history is littered with
just awful scumbags,
tricky scenarios. Now we just know about it better.
Yeah,
you listened to The Clash this week. You listened to Tribe Called Quest.
I did. I listened to. Okay, let me. We were riding around. So should I just go into just old music and just other stuff I listen to? We listened to Stone Temple Pilots' Purple in the car. Like the album, right?
I love that album.
Dude, that album is so great.
Mm-hmm.
That album is so great. That's probably one of my favorites, man. That's probably... I listen to that album all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good. Ween's The Mollusk is... It's very quirky, and it is an acquired taste. There's probably like one or two songs that are trash on there, but there is so much just gold on that album.
Yes.
And it's The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, again, good person, good music. This album makes me feel like no other album has ever made me feel. I love this album so much. What's Story Morning Glory?
I also listened to this album.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's so good. I actually listened to this album when I heard that.
I had Supernova stuck in my head for like the last 3 days.
I actually listened to Big Fish Theory, which was one that I heard from a bunch of people. It's pretty good. It's pretty experimental. Album? Yeah, it's by Vince Staples.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's the one with the goldfish on it.
Did listen to a lot of Alice in Chains. Queen. I actually did retry Mac Miller's Circles, which was
heartbreaking.
The greatest posthumous album I've ever heard, period, bar none.
To be fair, one of the only like good ones, in that it was like a complete like actual album.
Like it's an album, not, you know. And so far this is going to be a steaming take, but so far it has been my favorite album of 2020. Because it is so just heartbreaking.
Did that come out this year? God, this year has been so long.
Dude, this year has been.
We're in the ninth month somehow. It's crazy.
Feels like we're in the third. Oh.
The Rolling Stones re-released Goathead Soup with a version of Scarlet that has Jimmy Page on guitar. They have a version of Scarlet which is called the War on Drugs remix. And they have a version of Scarlet which is the Killers remix.
The Killers.
Along with about 100 other songs in a full live concert.
The band The Killers?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has that fuzzy feel, the fuzzy guitars.
Dude, the version I really kind of liked was the War on Drugs remix.
War on Drugs are pretty good.
But Jimmy Page is also playing on that.
The Killers knew... Actually, The Killers were inspired by the last War on Drugs album.
And we have The Struts released a song. And Bring Me the Horizon released a song, both of which... Anthony Hamilton released a song. I love Anthony Hamilton. If you're out there and you like a little R&B in your life.
We have been digging into some Radiohead, or at least me and Dad have.
Yes, because at some point we will do a discography.
We will do a discography dive on Radiohead.
Yes.
I do have some hot takes. I'm like... I'd say I'm up to Hail to the Thief by now. I do like every album I've heard. They're just... Yes. Dad?
I was letting you finish.
They're so graceful.
Yes.
And they do the loud, quiet dynamics so well. And, oh my God. Okay, computer. Kid A, dude.
What's our next episode going to be, guys?
Our next episode?
I think that I chose A Tribe Called Quest's Low End Theory.
My favorite.
Diving into hip-hop classic.
Yes.
Hip-hop
Tribe
classic.
Tribe Called Quest. Fife Dog.
Probably my most played hip-hop album. It's the one that I go to. It's very jazzy.
Oh, dude.
It's so carefree and fun.
Q-Tip was able to dive into record stores and buy rarities and put that jazz behind what they did, and it winds up being so good.
Oh, it's so good.
Right?
I'm excited for it.
We should be excited.
It's so good.
And you should be excited, too, out there, world.
And the fact that all of the rappers, they can just... They don't even have... Like, even though they rap good, they don't even have to. They just have so much charisma. And they're just so...
Yeah, it's beautiful. We're going to get into that, though, next week. Is this a wrap?
This is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
What you got? This is a wrap.
So, we will see you next time.
Go Home Heat, copyright 2020.
This is a Go Home Heat production. This is
Ray's Music Reviews.
Jared Ray, KP.
Jared Ray and KP signing off right now. See you next time.